The best of another week with Mike Reed, DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube. Well, you know, we also need to take a minute and say that my podcast about my dad is finished and up, and the whole world can watch it. And so everybody needs to go and listen to Shining Star about my dad and the first season of Heroes and Miracles. It's completed and it's done, and everybody can go visit it now and see what's going on.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
Right.
Because I know that's what, I know people mainly just, they hop on YouTube at night and see what new, what's new that you've stuck on there. And right. And it's fine. YouTube is amazing. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, your dad thing. You need to get on there and check that out. I haven't looked at it yet. So.
You need to. It's good. It was fun to do, definitely. I spent a year doing it, so it's been a passion project of mine.
Yeah, that's well worth it. Yeah.
Right.
It's, and the lady that, now what was the lady's name yesterday that said who the Smythe guy was?
Nancy Murray.
Now, where is she from?
She's from Crane. She's one of the old time, she's right. A wonderful woman from Crane. Nancy and Webb Murray.
So I probably know her.
You probably do.
She acted like I knew her, and you know, I'm getting older. I'm not losing my mind, but I've just I've been around a lot of blocks, you know, and it's
without a doubt, you've gone all the way around the block, all the way from Elizabeth Street down to Lucas Lane, all the way around the blocks.
I've been in a bunch of blocks. I mean, it's pretty cool when you can go to other, you know, you can go somewhere like Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and you're walking down the street and you see people. I used to come and watch you play out here. You know?
Yes.
And that's kind of fun. And it's I've done a lot of stuff. I mean, I've been a lot of places. I've had a full life. But in my eyes, I've had a half a life. I'm still ready for the other half of it.
The best half to go. That's definitely true. Definitely.
Yeah, it's kind of, I put a little thing on Facebook. You know, we all vent on Facebook sometimes. At Valentine's Day, I just put a little thing. Well, it's another year. I don't have anybody, and it's. I'm so good and nice to people. I see people treating ladies or treating guys or whatever terrible, and it's. I read about it all the time. And I'm like, you know, I guess God prepared it for me. There's a reason, you know. So it's.
You're waiting on somebody good is what I think.
Well, you know what? I figure with what I'm about to do in Branson, I'll meet somebody that just falls for me for what I am.
Exactly.
So like, oh my gosh, I don't have anybody and I've been looking for somebody like you, and that's usually how it happens, and it's
and it happens at the right time too. That's important to know too.
And right now nobody wants a guy that's hobbling around on crutches and yeah, it's okay. I probably don't have time to be dating or whatever you want to call it. It's
well, not normally the 4 o'clock wake up time is a little bit of a that would be a deal breaker for some people.
There's little times come around like Valentine's Day. I mean, when I did the party the other night, everybody had their date or their wife or their date.
Yeah.
I was the only one. I mean, Darren's there helping me with his wife, and
Right. Not
that I'm looking for that. I just like, I get a little tired being alone sometimes, but it's, but I've known a lot of really cool ladies during my life. And so, you know, if I knew where they all were, then it would be a mess. Okay. So
it'd be really weird. If you tracked them all down, that would be weird and uncool for you. Definitely.
I have two ladies. I have an 89-year-old mom and a 8 or 9-year-old golden doodle. And Okay. Between those two, I stay busy. Yeah. So
sounds good.
And, so anyway, it's just a snowy day here in Branson, Missouri, wherever you guys are watching this.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's like terrible. I've been trying to get back to my wound doctor for my foot
right. All
week, and I haven't been able to get there. And yesterday they said, "Oh yeah, you can't get here today." And I have no doubt in my mind that in the morning they're going to go, "Well, I don't think you can get here in the morning."
Right.
Which I don't either. I don't know. They said, oh, and the doctor would not want you out in your driveway shoveling snow with your foot and crutches. Yeah.
Yes.
So.
What the doctor doesn't know won't hurt him. Let's say that.
There you go. Yeah. And it's. yeah, I don't know. It's. The worst thing, I don't want to try to get out. And then all of a sudden I'm in a ditch somewhere in a hurt foot and I'm stuck.
Yes. And hurt back, definitely.
Yeah. So it's I'm okay. So right now I'm just a chef. I mean, I'll do the knee deep and rubber thing here and then I'll go cook supper. And
what is supper for tonight?
Oh, I think tonight is pasta or spaghetti or however you want to say it.
I'll say it all, pasta and spaghetti.
When I was a kid, I grew up, it's the Chef Boyardee box spaghetti, what's it called, spicy Italian or something like that. It's a green box.
Right.
And you tend to like stuff that you ate at home all the time. That's right. What always got fixed for me. So I'm like, well, hey, it's I guess that's it. I talked to my friend Marion Crum last night. Marion's a bell bouncer in Springfield.
Okay.
He was just talking how tough things are. He says he's a big bass fisherman. He says he thinks he's just going to sell the boat and everything. I said, why? He said, because it's by the time summer gets here, it's going to cost $400 or $500 to fill the boat up with gas, which is true. I mean, don't matter which side of the fence you're on, things are getting to be kind of a mess right now. So it's, I mean, the gas is definitely going up. Man, it's going to be an interesting year, you know.
It definitely is, no doubt about that.
If it's opened up, you take somewhere like Branson. If things are kind of opened up, this place will be hopping because it's people got cabin fever, you know, from this whole winter being able to do nothing. And I laugh. I moved into this house a year ago, and I have a big, huge 10-foot-tall privacy fence. It's a giant backyard, you know. Great place for barbecues or just anything. It's just huge. Right. And I haven't even got to go out and do anything in it. I haven't got to do anything for the last year, you know. So it's and I was laughing. Somebody asked yesterday, Darren's wife said, how did you get this thing on your foot? What do you think? I said, you know, that red barn that I did out in that Caulfields thing that we tried to run a business.
Yes.
I found out after we left that used to be an exotic snake thing.
Really?
People would pay money and go in and look at all the. I said, I bet I got bit by a snake somewhere. And I bet there's still some snake hanging out in there somewhere.
Right.
And snake, I couldn't even play country music. I had a lot of different boots, and I still have them.
Right.
The snakeskin ones, I have some that are just snakeskin all the way up. I mean, there ain't, you know, it's not leather on the top of snake. Nah, it's all the way up your leg. And man, I just had to shut my eyes to put these things on because I'm like, I don't want anything that's kind of like a snake on me. And and if I would have known that barn used to be snakes,
yes,
the guy could have gave it to me for free and I wouldn't have taken it. That's something I hate, you know. I mean, I don't guess I hate them. I just don't want to see them, you know.
You don't need them around you. They don't attacking you as well.
No, I, you know, send a squirrel or something like that to me, but not a snake.
Send a squirrel.
Yeah, that's another podcast we're working on.
It definitely is one. Definitely.
Send a squirrel.
Definitely. So talk more about. Well, talk about Crane and what was cool about Crane. Let's talk about that again for a minute.
Because I've told some people, tune into this. This is
listen, come on.
We do. We talk a lot about the small town we both grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we didn't have a choice. That's where our parents had put us.
Yes.
Me and my mom and dad, as I said, we moved there. My dad bought the Chevrolet agency.
Right.
And he bought the house that the guy that owned it lived in. So
right.
we got the house and the car agents, everything all in one. So there it was. My first day at school, I remember I went to science class.
Okay.
And my teacher at science class was Bob Conrad. So I went to another class, some other teacher. Then I went to another class, and my teacher was Bob Conrad. I thought, isn't that the guy that was at science class? And then I went to PE or sports, whatever, and the coach was Bob Conrad. And I'm, I find, because it was a small school, and depending on how much faculty was there, different teachers taught different classes. And then it was a, that's a long time ago. It's advanced a lot. But I came from a, a 3A school to a 1A school. So I remember history.
That's a big jump, shall we say. That's a big jump. Smaller.
So whenever they passed out our history books, I remember I looked and I was like, I already had this book last year where I used to live. And I thought, then I was smart enough to think, well, that's okay. I'll kind of know what's going on. It's going to be. But all of a sudden it was so cool. Cause there, you know, in your class you have maybe 30 people. So it took a couple of days to know everybody.
Right.
And so, you know, within a week or two, you just fit right in with everybody. Small town. We had little, not Dairy Queens, but one was called the Dairy Lane and the other one changed a lot of times. They were on each side of each end of the town.
Right. And there's also Jane and Ed's. There's also Jane and Ed's towards Hurley, all the way up.
And that was the third one. Yeah, that way. Which that was probably the best one out of, but it was right out there. It's a mile and a half out of town.
The guy would whistle, and it was just so fantastic.
But it's a small town. We had everything we needed. You know, we had a big park, and they have every year they still have the broiler festival where they cook 5 million chickens, and we always had, they'd always talk of us, all us kids into working at it. You know, I mean, we thought it was cool. Yeah, that's, we'll work and cook chickens. And, you know, they'd give us dinner, and it's like, that was our pay. We thought it was cool though. But that's but small town of Crane, anybody that's, well, I started to say, if you ever miss living in a small town growing up, well, you can't go back now and do it. But it's, there's things we missed out on, but there was also, you know, as we got older in high school, we'd learn about places in Springfield we could go.
Oh, right.
So we'd get together a couple of our buddies and go to Springfield. I'll never forget Bobby Eaton. He had something like a 63 Chevy or something, red one. It was really nice. And back in those days, the big thing was get you a CB and have a CB in your, so, and you had to have your handle. Of course, me, I can't, you know, I can never decide on anything. So it took me a month to figure out what my handle was going to be. Maybe this. I'll never forget. We were going to the movies and Bobby was on the CB, you know, and the guy's like, what kind of car you got? Oh, it's a red, blah, 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 blah. The guy goes, man, I bet it's nice. Yeah, I bet you got a good stereo in it. Oh, yeah, I got a great stereo. And sounds like your CB's probably pretty good. Yeah. What show are you guys going to? This one. Which theater? This one. We came out of the movies. The 63 Chevy had been broken to the radio.
Oh, no!
CB was gone. Everything was gone. Oh, we're like, yeah, we stepped in that, didn't we? But, in Springfield, Missouri. It's still there, but I'm sure it's not like it used to be. It was Kearney Street.
Right.
Kearney Street was the American Graffiti Cruise Street up and down the street.
Exactly.
And that's where you went. And if it was guys, you met girls, and if it was girls, you met guys. And back in those days, it was pretty much that way, guys and girls, you know. And nowadays, it would be a little different, but that's okay.
More with Mike after a break. DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube.
Because there was something in the water in Springfield, Missouri.
Hey, don't forget me. I'm Brenda Lee, and we're all going to have fun tonight on Oh God Jubilee.
There you go.
The Missouri Music Podcast, hosted by music fan and the founder of Slewfoot Records, Mr. Dale Wiley.
more Knee Deep in Rubber with me and Mike Reed. DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube.
But it would be, oh my gosh, we would go up there and just, you know, drive a whole tank of gas just going up and down the road, up and down the road. Yes. And, but that was a hobby. We didn't have that. In Crane, we could drive across town, but we didn't have.
We did a lot. Yes.
We did a lot. There was a lot. And every time there was a holiday in the small town of Crane, like at Halloween, you got out of school, you went downtown. Every window on Main Street of all the businesses,
yes,
they furnished paints, and you painted some Halloween picture on all the windows. Then they had like a cake walk and entertainment, and, you know, band playing or the march. You know, it was small town festival things. And we just lived for that stuff. That was fun. To this day, I don't see a lot of it. At Christmas time, they put, you know, right in the middle of Main Street, there's a cross street there, and they put a big giant Christmas tree right in the middle of the street.
Which is like one that you and Mark Rundle would have gotten for the dealership.
Me and an attorney there in town. Yeah. I was the musician guy and he was the attorney, so we were totally different. We got along really great. Right. And yeah, every year I would form a group of guys and we'd go get a Christmas tree to put in my dad's car lot. So when he'd come to work on Monday, we'd do it on Sunday. He'd say, "Oh, look at that. The guys got me a Christmas tree." So we took off out in the country. And it was like the Chevy Chase movie. I saw one that was like, it was something like 25 foot tall. It was giant. I said, "That's the one right there." And we had to call Chuck Warren. He got his flatbed truck that would tilt, and he drove it out there, and we buzzed it down, and we had to put it on this flatbed hauler thing, and they had to get the police from the city of Crane to block the highway coming back into town because the tree hung over both sides of the highway. It was that big.
Right.
Swearingen got the bucket truck, and we had to drill 6 foot down into the ground, like for a lamp, like for a telephone pole. And then Jack Swearingen, he got the bucket truck, and we had to hook the tree onto the bucket truck in order to lift it to go down in this hole.
Yes.
And all the guys, we got the tree, and the women, the wives and girlfriends, they all cooked like chili and stuff there in the car lot. So when my dad came to work on Monday, there's like a tree that, well, 6 foot of it went in the ground. So it was at least 20 foot tall. You know, it's three stories or something. It was giant. And they'd use the bucket truck to put lights on it. And when we ended up taking it down, cutting it down, it was big enough. It made six corner posts for fencing, you know, at somebody's farm.
Wow.
Six.
That's a big tree, definitely.
It's a big tree. But that, you know, that was a small town. You wouldn't do that in Springfield. And
right.
Oh my gosh, it just it was fun. The ball games were a blast. Everybody turned out the ball games because that's all that was going on. And ball games are good. We did this stuff like you read in old stories. We'd have a van or something loaded up with people, you know, girls and guys. And
oh yeah,
make sure you get that girl and that girl because they're really cute. Yeah, get them. Let's get them to go. Because we'd meet at the dairy, whatever it was.
Right.
And
yes.
Then we'd drive out in the country to the graveyards and drive around. And,
yes.
Yeah, you know, just like, it's like old Scooby-Doo movies or something. Well,
our childhood was old Scooby-Doo movies. That's a good way to put it because it was always interesting. And like, in some ways, it kind of reminds you of movies and stuff. But in other ways, it was just our own thing. Totally was.
It was, you know, and we never got bored with it. It was never like, I hate it. I want out of here. It was that was our life, and it was in a little circle, and we knew everybody, and everybody in the town treated everybody nice. I mean, it was the town where you'd have little old ladies that lived certain place, and, you know, you'd be like, oh, yeah, old so-and-so lives there, and that's where old so-and-so. Yeah, don't rev up your car when you drive by her house. You'll be calling the police on us. And it was fun. My dad had a Chevrolet agency and a big garage. So me and my buddies, we just at night go open it up and put our cars in there, put different tires on them and headers on them. And just, I mean, it was just cool. It's like, I got the garage. You guys meet me down there tonight and we'll do some stuff. And it was fun. I mean, there was Randy Bowling. I mean, I'm trying Bobby Eaton. I'm just trying to think of all the guys that there was other guys. There was people like Jimmy Hilton. He was a good friend, but Jimmy was, he lost his dad and he lived out on a farm. So he was pretty much busy taking care of chores. There was guys that actually working. Lived on farms and they were actually working while we were all just donking around. And, but it was a small town. Where Mark Rundle lives now, that isn't that where Lefty Evans?
No, it's Lefty's old house. Yes,
they have 14,000 walnut trees up there because every year they'd get us kids to go up there and pick walnuts, and you'd pick walnuts till you were sick. Or in the summertime, we baled hay. You know, me and Mark Barnett. Mark Barnett was one of my best friends in the world, and we worked at the flower shop.
Okay.
Delivering, which meant we also got to deliver to all the funerals.
Right.
And the deal was you just need to get these flowers all there before the people get there, or before you got to get to the graveyard before the people get back to the graveyard.
Right.
And I never forget, we were on some little country road one time trying to get there, and because of the water and the flooding or whatever, the side gave away and the flower van went over on its side, laying in the ditch. And had all them flowers, had them all sandbagged in there. So they were still okay, but they were sideways. So we were getting a hold of the flower shop going, we're in a ditch out here. I don't think we're going to make it to the And they had to bring another van and take everything out of that to that one. I'll never forget one time I had to deliver some flowers to somebody that had passed away. And they said, well, they told me, be careful which door you go in, because you don't want to go in the wrong door, because you may get in some door where something's going on there where you don't want to see that.
What does that even mean?
I guess it was the embalming or whatever, whenever they get the body ready for whatever. I didn't ask. But I had to take this big thing of roses, and I got there and I asked the funeral guy, where do these go? And he's like, oh, you go right up there and lay them on top of the casket. Right. And it was open. It was open. I walked up that way, and there's that guy, some guy laying there. And I'm like, oh, well, actually, I was like, oh, shit, that's what I was doing. Oh, shit. And I'm like, I'm not reaching down over that thing. Uh-uh. Right. So I just kind of set him down at the end. I just kind of scooted him on there and said, told the guy, put him up there. You might have to adjust him. See you, bye.
Right.
But me and Mark, we would get out of school all the time because they would call, I need Mark and Mike over here. They got to deliver some flowers today. Now, where else could you go to school where the flower shop calls? I need to get these guys out of school today so I can deliver flowers.
Exactly.
Okay. Small town. There's a million stories about living in a small town.
No doubt.
And the lady you're talking about, that we talked about basketball and about the guy in Reed Spring, you know. Man, Reed Spring then, it was just...
That was a big school for us.
It was a spot in the road, though, but it was bigger than... Yeah, it was... if we played ball against Reed Spring, it was... they were kind of a notch. It was like, whoa, man, we're going down to Reed Spring to play. But it was still just small town.
Right.
All the towns were Blue Eye, Southwest, Purdy, Verona.
Right.
Early, Clever, Billings. Billings... Us and Billings, we just all hated each other, and I think it's because we were 10 miles apart.
Right.
And it's so funny, because after school, then you knew everybody from those towns, and you were all friends, you know, but it was a
exactly.
Small town. And as we say, we go back to the thing, out of everybody in the town, who had the, I guess back in those days, the rock band? Right. I did.
This guy, yes.
We'd practice on my back porch. You could hear us all over the neighborhood.
Right.
And considering his back in those days, we were pretty good. I'll never forget.
Right.
Jeff Kimes was in it. Then we were the Rock and Roll Outlaws. Okay. Now, Jeff Kimes was in the band. Bobby Eaton was in the band.
Right.
I think that's when Bruce Wester played drums with us. His parents were scared to death that he was going to be in a band. because he was only like grass. He's only like 13, 14, 15 years old. And it's Bobby played a guitar. None of these guys had any instruments, but they could kind of, I don't know how they knew how to play, but anyway, Bobby played, I had several guitars, not several, but so Bobby played a guitar of mine. This was a Gibson 335.
Oh, really?
12 string.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like, wow, you don't see that all the time. Exactly. So we just took six of the strings off and made it six string.
Okay.
And I think I played my old Fender Mustang that was 63, 64, whatever. Okay. And I had a bass that Jeff Kimes played bass. Okay. Jeff Kimes, you know, for not having an instrument or anything, this was a black stereo Rickenbacker bass.
Oh, really?
Wow. Jeff to play. And I'm like, you know, people would be like, man, they'd tell you, man, that's an awesome bass you got. Exactly. I'm like, oh, it's my bass. Okay, but it's but we played, and one time we played, was that whenever, were you guys with us when we played a homecoming dance or something at Crane? Some dance.
That was before my day. That was two years old.
I did one way back where it's a soccer, and there's pictures in the annual or the yearbook.
Right.
Where we had our hair greased back, and we just played, it was all 50s music. And then this was, I don't know if it's a homecoming, I don't know what it was. But I remember we had the flash pots all across the stage where they'd blow up, and we were Kiss from a small town. And then I remember one of the songs we played. I don't know in those days how we picked out songs really, because, you know, music wasn't just there laid in your lap everywhere.
Right.
No, I remember I had in my bedroom, I had an 8-track player, and I played 8 tracks. And boy, that was cool. I remember I had an 8-track of Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
the whipping cream cover?
I thought it was so great. It wasn't necessarily that I thought it was great, but I just didn't have, you know, I maybe had 5 8-tracks and I had to choose from them.
Yes.
But it was really cool. And for some reason, we ended up doing a Todd Rundgren song. And it wasn't one of his main songs, but it was called Slut, S-L-U-T.
Oh, yes. I know that song, yes.
She's an S-L-U-T. Maybe a slut, but she looks good to me.
Right, it's a good song.
We went to play it that night at the homecoming, and Jeff Kimes grabbed the microphone and he goes, I'd like to dedicate this song to my sister. Okay. He just dedicated it because that was one of our favorite songs. Right. And he's like, And afterwards, I go, Jeff, you just did a song called Slut for your sister. And he's like, oh, man. And if he watches this, he'll be like, oh, man, I forgot about that. But it was, yeah, we were big stars, and we played loud.
And, yes.
And, you know, on a 1 to 10, we were probably a 6, 7, 8. I mean, we were pretty good. I mean, we were in a small town. That's all, you know, we'd practice. And
yeah.
Later on in the country groups, when we'd practice at my dad's used car lot, those bands were Dixie, and those were really good bands because we practiced a lot,
right?
Vocal wise and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, I spent most of my life doing music stuff. That's
good stuff.
Sometimes I say I wish I would have took a different avenue, but
not a chance. You've done a great thing with a lot of people you've influenced. So that's why it's Deep and Rubber, and we're talking and we'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. We ran out of time. We're out of time, aren't we?
Deep and Rubber, yeah. The books are at DaleWiley.com. The podcasts are at DaleWileyShow.com. Also now on YouTube with Mike Reed also. Every day at 4 o'clock, Monday through Friday. A weekly COVID update from Travis Hughes. DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube.
Hello, Travis. How are you? All right. Well, that's very good. What is your weekend like? What the COVID's like?
Well, what's your weekend like? What's going on?
Oh, nothing much right now. Just staying in and staying warm.
Well, that's a good thing. What's COVID like? Give me a COVID update.
The COVID is kind of going down a little bit, but People, don't let your guards down.
Right. Wear your mask, clearly.
Yes.
What other advice do you have for them?
Wash your hands, please. And wear your mask. Stay 6 feet apart. If you're sick, stay home.
Right. That is very good advice. Always so good to catch up with you on a Friday afternoon.
Yes.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Best COVID updates in the world. DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube.